Vanessa and James, and then we'll you can just pass the mic over to her.
Okay, we're going to go to Deb's prayer for everybody. For James, Vanessa.
And who else?
Jason.
And Kristen.
Yes. Father, we are so thankful that you always hear our prayers and requests, that you almost implore us to bring them to you so that you can show yourself mighty and good on behalf of your people that you're calling to you. We pray for James right now where he is. Father, we thank you that you are moving upon his heart, that he wants to be different. He wants to see you powerfully move in his life, and that you bring someone to him to encourage, that you encourage his heart and in him. And for this Jason that is also incarcerated, Lord, and whatever that need is, you know exactly how to speak to him and how to bring him to you. And so we pray for others to be involved, because you invite us in to work with you to bring your lost sheep home. What a joy. What a joy. Lord, we pray for Vanessa. We thank you, Jesus, for the good testimony of her, and that she sends her love to everyone here. She misses everyone here. Father, we pray that she is encouraged, that there is a lightness in her step, that she continues on this path of being free in you. Free, totally free in you from addiction and drugs and self-effort, as we're going to learn about today. I thank you, Jesus, for Kristen. We pray for her. We pray for the needs that she has, that only you can turn around in her life, and how we can partner with you in that. And Father, I'm very thankful for my new friend Tim back here, for his rededication to you. It is true that you chase us down. You break down every wall. You find us wherever we go, wherever we hide. There's no place that we can go to escape your love. You search us out and bring us home to you. Thank you, Jesus. And please bless my favorite preacher. As he speaks today. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. I have a couple of announcements first. Can I have my Bible? First announcement is, next week we are going to be doing something different. That was made a suggestion a few weeks ago when we had a special meeting. Instead of a regular preaching service, we're going to have kind of a Bible study meeting where we're going to be dividing up into groups, and each group will be doing the same study. We're using the same material, but we're going to be breaking up into smaller groups just to really look at the Bible in those smaller groups. And that will be one Sunday each month, and it's going to be the third Sunday of the month. So that is next Sunday. All right. Okay. Also, another announcement for the men. February 2nd, we're doing a one-day men's retreat in Montello. There's no hiking for this retreat. That's just a May retreat. But this retreat is a one-day teaching retreat. The theme is the nature and character of God. And the church van will be leaving here on the 2nd at 7 o'clock in the morning, and expected back here about 9 o'clock at night. All right, so if you are interested, men, please see me. There is a $30 cost per man. I need to have that by the 26th of January. That covers food, that covers the whole gamut. Okay, amen. All When we were praying for the ones that are in jail or dealing with legal things, Clarissa said something, and it just struck me, and I want to pray along these lines as well. She said for James to get his freedom again. And the reality is that when Jesus sets us free, we are free indeed. The theme of the book of Galatians is supernatural freedom. If we've been set free, then nothing can put us into bonds. Amazing testimony of saints that have been thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. It was evident in many of their lives that they were not really in bonds. And I think in my own life of areas where I struggle, it's because I'm not free.
That's right.
And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so I pray for those that we already have prayed for, but for each of us, Jesus, that you would set us free so that we are free indeed.
Amen.
In places and maybe in cubbyholes in our lives where we are not free, we ask that you would set us free. Because God is the one that sets free. And I've said this before, but I am reminded of it today, and I'm going to share this. You know, when I'm preaching about Galatians grace and preaching about God's freedom, and Annette talked about the how the lifelessness of the religious spirit, and this in the week's text, which is from Galatians chapter 3, is some tough words from Paul about trusting in our own natural ability, the law, our own effort. And actually, he's addressing believers.
That's right.
Okay? He's addressing believers, and he uses some strong words, and we're going to get there. But I need to say that, as I've said before, my qualifications to preach on this topic is because God has been faithful to me to continually bang me over the head with grace. Because I have needed it. All right? That in terms of the tendency to trust in my own ability, to trust in my own effort, I am a tough case. And I've needed this. And so I need it the most. All right, and I just want to remind us, I want to remind myself of that. Again, the key verse, which we actually did last week, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes from the law, if righteousness comes from my doing something, from my accomplishing some teaching, then Jesus' death on the cross is useless. It's futile. I cannot try and be godly and succeed.
That's right.
Now, I want to share this testimony because it just fits. I wasn't exactly planning it, but I've been thinking about it. The transition in my life, it actually came a couple of times because God is faithful to bang me over the head with this grace. But a year or so after my first wife passed away, and I was raising my two small kids of my own, and I was pastoring a small church, and I was struggling physically, I had a particularly rough, now I don't say particularly tough, just a usually tough day for me. And at night, after this long day, I was done. I was done trying to be a Christian. I was done trying to be a pastor. And I have to tell you, I said it in a lot of words not so nice like I'm saying now. And as far as I could mean it, I meant it. I wasn't thinking, oh, I'll feel different tomorrow morning. I'll repent tomorrow morning. I was done. I was throwing in the towel of this Christian thing. And that is the way I went to bed. Early in the morning, before I was fully awake, you know how you're kind of in that state where you're kind of starting to wake up and you're halfway awake, halfway asleep? I was singing. And I was singing the same song over and over again. And then I started to become more awake. And the song I was singing was "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." And now I'm starting to become more conscious, and this song's still going through me. And I'm not usual to wake up with a song necessarily. My wife will testify to that. But as I started to think about this, I was stunned because I remembered the attitude in which I had gone to bed. And the word to describe me was I was stunned because there was no will on my part. And the only way I could understand it was my understanding of Scripture was that Jesus has said that he will never leave me nor forsake me.
That's right.
It doesn't say he'll never leave you or forsake you if you don't give up.
Right.
Doesn't say that. He says, "Lo, I am with you to the end of the world, the end of time." Philippians says that he who has begun a work in you will complete it. And I'm stunned. And in a sense, I didn't get down on my knees and start praying and say, "I'm sorry, Jesus." I was stunned. The way I've described it, and I've written this sometimes, it's like Jesus said to me, "Tough luck, Charlie. I'm not leaving you. I'm not giving up on you." And in a sense, I don't think I've ever gotten over that day. And it's again, it's not like all of a sudden I repented profusely or something. I really didn't. It was like, I don't know other word to use. I was stuck. I was stuck because of his faithfulness. And that's my testimony. It hasn't changed that much because there are times where I'm just a tough case. And he's relentless. He doesn't give up on me. He doesn't stop. Because it's not dependent upon us.
Yes.
And this is what the Apostle Paul is addressing to believers. To believers. Now, it's true for all of us, but it's specifically true to believers. And so we're going to go to Galatians chapter 3. He starts out, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?" Apostle Paul uses the word "foolish" twice here. And again, he's addressing believers, which means he's addressing us. You know, when you read the Bible, you don't read the Bible. If you're a believer, the Bible reads you. It's for you. The words of the scripture, wherever they are, from Genesis to Revelation, they are for you and for me. The word foolish in the Greek is anatos, which is actually a compound word from without, and naoe, which is thinking. So this word is without thinking. This foolishness is because of without thinking. Properly non-thinking. This is from Bible Hub, just so you know. I didn't make this definition up. Not reasoning through a matter with proper logic. Unmindful, which describes acting in a mindless, dense way. Parentheses, believers, just plain stupid. Let's try that. Oh, just plain stupid Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so dense? Are you so plainly stupid? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? See, we talk about being saved by grace through faith. We quote that from Ephesians. How often do we quote this verse? See, we sometimes think we've started, so now we have to finish it. Uh-uh. Just doesn't happen that way. Because if it could, see, we are in such desperate need. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed in vain? You know, when we choose to follow Jesus, we suffer ridicule from the world. Somewhere, if we have truly chosen to follow Jesus, somewhere along the line, whether it's family, whether it's friends, somebody is going to persecute us, make fun of us, laugh of us, find fault with us. It's not always popular. And in some countries, it's even more unpopular than it is here. I'm cautious to not go on yet, because this first verse about before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. You know, the crucifixion, the cross, is the supreme revelation given to man of what God is like. That describes God's character. It describes his heart. It describes his love. And there is no greater revelation. You know, sometimes we're seeking for something else. And God gives signs and wonders. He gives miracles. But there's no greater revelation than the cross and understanding what Jesus did at the cross. And that there was no other way. That's what Paul finishes chapter 2 with. There was no other way. We are that bad. The best of us, the worst of us, which really there is no difference. That's our own judgments. Every single one of us is absolutely in need of what Jesus did at the cross. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham's righteousness was accounted to him because he believed. Not because he did, but because he believed.
That's right.
It flowed out of his life, but because he chose to believe. In the very beginning of Abraham's life, God called him to leave his land of his father. Now, if Abraham didn't believe, he wouldn't have left. But he left because he believed. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Those that are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham before, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Those who are of faith. And before that it says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. And I want to talk about justifying. Just give you an example. Use technology a little bit here, okay? You might not always understand what justification is, but justification is used when you're typing something, as an example. Not a legal justification, but a simple justification. So we have this text here, and it is not justified on both sides. I'm just going to select it. Look at the right-hand side. All the lines end differently. You following me? A lot of you are aware of this. Now, at least on the computer, if I press one button, now that whole right side is all lined up in a line. It's all lined up by a margin. You with me? When God justifies us, he lines us up with him. All the way. Our entire life, past, present, and future, lines up with him by faith. God saying he would justify the Gentiles by faith. Not by works, not by the law, but by faith. Now, let's take that back a step. That's impossible for us to do. Because it's justifying, I thought about this, the pages and pages and pages of our life. Past, present, and future. There's not a human being that can do that on their own. You may think that you can justify a little part of your life as being good or being righteous. And God probably doesn't look at it that way, but I might be able to think of some spot that somehow we were okay. But we're talking about the entire life, past, present, and future. There is no way that we can justify ourselves. It's impossible. But that's why Jesus died on the cross, to justify our lives. So our life doesn't line up. See, this is the other thing, and we struggle with this. But somehow we think that when we follow God, we're lining up with, I don't know, a good life, lining up with being okay. No, we're lining up with him because that line is Jesus. Yeah. That line is because of what Jesus did at the cross. That's what he's lining us up with.
And it's not by our action. It's by what Jesus has done at the cross. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. See that you might be able to do something, some aspect of the law, some aspect of some teaching you might be able to accomplish. But the understanding of that is that the only way is if you do all of them, if you do everything all the time. It's not possible. That's why Paul says that the law was a tutor to bring us to Christ, to our need. But that no one, I mean, it just, Paul's almost again and again reiterating this. He is. But that no one is justified by the law, by our doing some religious something of our own thinking. Let me express this for a moment. Let's talk about the law for a moment. Torah in Hebrew, namas in Greek. Torah is, we translate a lot of times law, and then we get this legal implication. And then we finally think, okay, I'm not trying to follow any type of law as a Christian. Well, the meaning of Torah is much deeper than that. It's teaching. In other words, even sometimes if a minister, us included, say something to you, you know, here's something you ought to do, and we go, I'm going to go do that, and God, I'm going to be okay. Well, what are you doing? You're following a teaching. Torah. You're following law. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to good advice. Because if it, but we're not justified by that. We're justified. Where'd Rich go? That simple prayer. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. That's my justification. Past, present, and future. Glory to God. Yes. Glory to God. But that no one is justified by the law or by a teaching. Is evident, law is in the sight of God is evident, for the just, the righteous, the justified shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith. You know, there are some things that can kind of be mixed together. My chemistry's right. There's a difference between a mixture and a solution. You take salt and you put it in water, it will actually create a solution. They kind of get combined and you can't see the salt anymore. It works. Oil and vinegar, you can shake it up. You let it sit, they separate. They don't go together. The oil and the vinegar will always go apart from each other. They do not truly combine. Faith and the law do not combine. You're either living one way or you're living the other way. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. I don't know, was it you, Annette, earlier that said that even those of us who, whoever the greatest, how I don't remember how you put it, but those that we think really know God only know a tiny bit. Jesus became a curse for us. You know, we have to almost get out of this thinking that the cross was this. It was, but it's not just a theological thing. It's not just a spiritual thing. It was a horrible, horrendous thing for Jesus, who had known no sin, who had never known separation from God, who had never not been justified, to suffer our unjustification, our sin, when he was on the cross. And why have you forsaken me? And you might not believe this, but it is as though Jesus himself, well, Scripture says he became sin. He became wrong. It's like he was wrong for us. As though he said the whole problem with the human race is my fault. Take it out on me. I'm going to say that again. It's as though he said the entire condition of the human race, past, present, and future, is my fault. Take it out on me. I will bear it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive, not earn, not merit, not accomplish, might receive the promise through faith. Hallelujah. A couple other notes I have here, right here, which, again, they're for me as well as for you, probably for me the most. I'm justified by something other than me. You are justified by something other than yourself. See, we're always seeking to find our own justification. It's part of the pit of the fall. We want to be justified by something else other. That's our problem. We want to be justified by something other than Jesus' death on the cross. And it doesn't work. You cannot be justified by yourself. Our attempts at justification are failures.
That's right.
Our attempts at justification are failures. Let's say that together. Our attempts at justification are failures. You cannot be put in line with God by yourself. You cannot be put in line with God by yourself. How often I'm trying to find some justification other than Christ's death for me. And that is the only justification I have today, yesterday, or forever. Thank you, Jesus. I am such a terrible case. I can't get away from it because it's reality. But one of the places where God has had to work overtime with me, because it's just so my religious character, my stubborn stiff-neckedness, my whatever, is that when it comes to devotion and prayer, as soon as I start to think that I'm doing something, it shrivels up. It's almost like I have to be almost unaware that I'm doing it, because that's his spirit working in me. This understanding, and this is, I go back to my testimony in the beginning, where my attitude was completely the opposite. My soul was in a bad place, in a sense, but my spirit was right with God. See, this is one of the places that we miss as believers. I think some of it is because we confuse the spirit and the soul, which are different. And sometimes we, for whatever reason in the Western world, we kind of combine them into one. They're not. We have a soul and we have a spirit. And we have a body. The soul is where we think, our emotions, our thinking processes. But when Jesus saves us, our spirit becomes alive.
Yes.
See, even though I, in my mind, in my psyche, threw in the towel, my spirit was still with God. And it came out in the morning when my brain was not yet awake. Hallelujah!
Amen.
And my wife will, I've shared this before, but like a year ago, there was a night I went to bed, I was in such a lousy attitude. And in the middle of the night, she has to bear a lot. In the middle of the night, she told me I was praising Jesus and thanking him. Again, not by my thinking, but by the spirit that dwells within me. And that's not just true for me, folks. That's true for everyone that's a believer. See, it's not about our mind, ultimately. It's about our spirit. And basically, one of the things that my wife says, and I'm slowly learning this, is that sometimes our mind just has to be brought in line with our spirit. The problem often is our mind is just not in that place. But the reality is that our spirit is. And we're actually fighting against God. It's futile. If I want to end with this verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, which talks about our body, soul, and spirit. For me, this is like the New Testament equivalent of the Aaronic benediction in Numbers. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. See, it's not just in Galatians. He is the one that does it. This sanctification, and this was the point in the book of Galatians. The Galatians, in some way, understood that maybe their salvation was by faith and not their doing. And this is our problem, O foolish Galatians, that somehow we think that we've begun in the Spirit, but somehow we have to kind of sanctify ourself. It's not what the scripture says. And the very God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Completely. That your whole spirit and soul and body. And I don't think that order is an accident. Spirit, soul, and body. Be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Completely justified. See, we have this problem because we're often trying to justify ourselves, that we don't see ourselves as blameless. I'm digesting this because I don't walk around with this understanding that I'm blameless. But Jesus has made me blameless by the cross. I'm blameless because of the cross. Put your hand up and say, I am blameless because of the cross. Let's say it again. I am blameless because of the cross. Whew. He who calls you is faithful. Even this concept of faith, that Abraham was justified by faith, is somehow connected not only to Abraham's faith, but to the faithful one himself, which is God, which is Jesus. Faithful is he who calls you. You know, we don't finish everything that we start. We don't. I don't know. If you finished everything that you've ever started, please let me know. God finishes what he starts. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you that you are the one that paid the price, that you became a curse for us. You would carry the blame so that we would be blameless. You were cursed so we would not be. And that we are justified with God because of the cross. And I pray for each of us, everyone that has heard this, wherever we might be in our own journey, in our own struggles, that you will reinforce your own word in us, that you will strengthen your word in us, that you will strengthen our understanding of being justified by faith, being justified with God, being blameless because of the cross. Reinforce that. Clarify it in our hearts and clarify it in our minds. Help us in our minds to agree with that which is true in the Spirit. Meet every single need, spirit, soul, and body. And I would like to actually close our time, if that's okay, with a song. Some of you might be familiar with, but I think it speaks along this line about healing. It's by 10th Avenue North called Healing Begins. I think Christy...
outside, so let them fall down.
Thank you, Art. Amen. So, and I thought you talked about how Christ, we think we have to finish, and Christ finishes it. Well, you, if you talk to my wife, I have a hard time starting stuff. So I thought of that. I'm like, man, I don't even start stuff half the time. So, do we have any other prayer needs before we wrap up? I think, Chris, are you? You're talking about this Chris, right? You were talking about? Oh, anybody. So, you got a prayer need? Yeah, before we end? What do you got, man? Come on out. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got? Timothy?
Yeah. I'm currently I'm homeless.
Okay.
But God, he has provided for me. You know, I always seem to have a place to stay.
Okay.
I got three prayer requests. Okay. I've been looking for authorized King James Version Bible with a prefix.
Okay. With
that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got what
you're saying. I've been looking for a church home, too.
Okay.
And I've been baptized before. I used to be a member of the Zion Temple Church of God in Christ, okay. Pentecostal Apostolic. I grew up as a little kid in that church. Okay. Before I started backsliding, you know. So I'm looking for authorized King James Version Bible prefix. I'm looking to join the church home, and I'm looking to be baptized.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's good. All right. Hold on. Stay up, Timothy. Is there anybody else? And we'll lift this up since Timothy's looking for a place. Anybody else in here, if you're from Paz or something, you don't have a place, stand up if you need a place, and we're just going to pray over you. Okay, we got Clarissa. Anybody else, if you don't have a place, you know, if you're in Paz and you want, you know, just here, come on up, Timothy. We'll come up. We'll bring it right in front. Come on up. Then we're just going to pray over you guys. Okay. Anybody else that want to come up? Yeah, no, whichever way you want to come, Timothy. Yep. Right there. That's good. Okay. Come on up, Tony. Yep. Anybody else? We're going to lift it up into prayer, man.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. All right. So does everybody put your hands towards him, Lord, and we just pray right now. Lord, we pray over Timothy, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just speaking to him this morning, Lord. And you know what, Lord, we pray that you just open up doors for Timothy, Lord. We pray he's welcome here, Lord, but whatever church home you bring him into, Lord, we pray that he finds the right place to be plugged into, Lord. We pray that whatever he's done in the past, Lord, that is forgiven and forgotten and gone, Lord. So you know what, Lord, we pray moving forward, Lord, you just, he is redeemed, Lord. He's stepping forward in victory, amen, Lord. And just what Art talked about today, in grace, no condemnation. Yes. Amen, Lord. And we just pray that there's a freedom on Timothy this morning as he's walking forward in the name of Jesus, a freedom. And for everybody else up here, Lord, that needs a place, Lord, we just lift up. We pray that there's doors opened up, Lord Jesus, just like Denise spoke about, Lord, getting into a group home, Lord. So we just lift up those needs right now. For anybody who doesn't have a place, Lord, and for the ones that came up here, Lord, we just pray and lift up that there's doors opened up right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will supply every need that they have, Lord Jesus. You are good, Lord, and we love you, man, and we just pray over these guys that you supply every need that they have in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, amen. Okay, you got it. All right, Timothy. Amen. Amen. All right. Hold on, you want to bless the food, Timothy? We got food.
Sure.
You want to bless it? Okay. All right. We'll let Timothy bless it.
You
can do it. Come on.
I just say, my mama talks.
That's
fine.
Let's
see.
You're okay. Yeah.
Jesus, we thank you for this food that we're about to eat.
Yes.
Have a nurse strength. Have a nurse and strengthen our body.
Amen.
Your holy name, we ask. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Timothy. Hallelujah. Thank you. All right. Amen. All right. Yes, Don. Oh, Art. Oh, you got something else you want to say, Tony, before we eat? But okay, Tony's done. All right, everybody, we got food in there. Go ahead and get some food. And amen.